Now? Okay, we're good. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just looking over something really quick. We're going to do something a little bit differently this morning. So let's open with prayer real quick, and then I'll explain it. So Father God, I thank you so much for this time together, Lord. I pray that you would just speak through me this morning. Close our ears to any error that I may speak, and just open our hearts and minds to what you have for us, Father. Help us explain and go through this together, this passage, and unpack it for us, this presentation of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it was an interesting week this week. Sometimes the pastor gets ministered to. We had a deliverance conference. If you don't know, I am the canon for the diocese, which just means I'm the bishop's assistant. And so we were training a conference for deliverance for the diocese, and that was a three-day thing here. And it just had a lot of ministry come from that, a lot of healing come from that, And then actually I had a bunch of stuff that kind of hit me and hit my wife. And so we've been praying through a lot of different things. It was interesting. So I sat down to write this sermon, which I usually do. I usually preach and think through it. And man, just nothing coming. And it just was not time to write a sermon. So I went to the bullpen and I pulled one out. Found one exactly on this. And I don't really feel comfortable with that one either. So I'm just going to go through this with y'all. Individually. So usually, if you're here for the first time, I usually have a sermon written for y'all, but that's not what we're going to do today. So what's going on here in this particular passage, Candlemas is talking about the presentation of Jesus in the temple. And so what that really means, Israel had been waiting for Jesus to come a long time, right? And there was a longing for Jesus. But remember when we were going through Advent, there had been 400 years. In those 400 years, a lot of people had not really believed he was going to come. And there, if you had had a desire for Jesus to come, if you had really been longing for Jesus, if you'd been a believer, there'd be a doubt during that time. The light was dwindling. There were some who believed, there were some who were not, and religion became rote for many people. For some people, there's always a minority that believed that he would come. But for others, when the Messiah doesn't come, faith becomes just something you do. You go to temple, you practice a certain thing, just like for church. If you're in church and Jesus hasn't come back again, there are some folks who just come to church. And from time to time, I'll see visitors, for instance, coming in, and they'll come to St. Andrew's. They might have been Anglican before, especially I've seen this with Anglicans, for instance. And I'll see the look, and I'll always know, we've been Anglican our whole lives. And so they walk into our church, and they'll come up to me, and I've been a vestry member here, or I've been on this, or I've been on that. And I'm like, okay, welcome. Doesn't mean I'm going to welcome you any more than anyone else, but great. But what they mean is, I'm somebody in the Anglican Church. And what a pastor hears is, you think you're somebody in the Anglican Church. And what a pastor really thinks is, anybody who comes in my door is somebody in God's kingdom. Right? And what I want to hear is, man, we've been praying and we're looking for a church and we want to go where God has called us. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want to hear, at least. We want you to be where God has called you. And that's a rarity. There's some folks I know that have come here. I mean, the Braves, that was warmed my heart. Linda Brousseau, that really warmed my heart. God has called us. The Braves moved here and they're like, where in the country are we called to go? And then they came. Other people have had that as well. So there's always this group that's longing for Jesus. They're longing for the coming of Christ. And so what you're seeing in this temple, in this presentation of Christ in the temple, is two old saints. And they've been longing for Jesus. See, these aren't like the other folks that John the Baptist is ministering to that are excited because this new prophet's preaching, and then they've just come to this realization. These two saints are longing. Have you longed for Jesus? And that's what we're reading about in this particular account. There's a deep desire. And so when it opens, and the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And so Jesus, even in God's design, is the firstborn of Mary. And so he is set apart. Now I too am the firstborn. But for this one, they are set apart and given to the Lord. Doesn't make them better. But for whatever reason, God sets them apart in this particular thing. They're given to the Lord. And so even before, what they're showing you here is Jesus is fulfilling the law passively. What that means is he couldn't control this part, but it shows you that he's fulfilling the law. Now, through Mary and Joseph, and they're bringing him before, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. So even now, the law is being fulfilled. Jesus is fulfilling the law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, and he was waiting. Waiting. That's the opening. That's the point. The passive, yes, the obedience is part of the point, but here you're seeing the longing. He was waiting. What in your life have you been waiting for the Lord to do? One of the prayers that I've been praying for came answered this last week, 2 weeks. A prayer that I'd been longing for in my heart with my bride. And I saw in the deliverance conference, which deliverance, by the way, mostly is people being healed or working through the things that they're struggling with and giving that to the Lord. And we've seen over the last few weeks many people in St. Andrews giving things to the Lord and working within them. And also from elsewhere. Have you been waiting on a thing from the Lord? What is it? This man was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for Jesus to come. And so the Lord blessed Mary, and she sings it in the Magnificat. He blesses Zechariah and Elizabeth with John the Baptist. And now he blesses this old man, and it's not to be missed. He continually blesses person after person, and we want to dismiss these other things, but here, this old man who's been waiting his whole life gets to hold Jesus. It's a powerful moment. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He believed. It had been revealed. God had spoken. God had shown him. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was old. He would not see death. year after year after year after year after year. You think he doubted? You think he wondered? When the health starts to fail and the joints give out, do you think he doubted? And then one day in the temple, he's there. Now, it says here, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, and it's easy to read this. Oh yeah, he just took him up in his arms and he blessed him. Do you think that's what actually happened? Year after year after year after year, and he sees Jesus. Do you think it was just, oh yeah, here, let me see the child? Or do you think he took him up in his arms in awe? He's holding the Son of God. What would you do if you were holding the Son of God in the flesh as a baby? He's here. And you've been blessed enough to hold him, to see him, to kiss him. And he says this, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. I'm going to die now in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Of all the people in the world, in the entire world, in all of history, throughout the ages, from how many thousands of years before to how many tens of thousands or bajillion years or however many Mike just said of years in the future. This old man got to hold baby Jesus and kiss him and knew who he was. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. Now, Mary and Joseph are relatively young. Mary at this point, 14 to 16. Joseph, 20s, are watching this. And they're marveling. What would you do? And Simeon turns to them and blesses them and says to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. What does a mother do when she hears that? Your boy was born to die. You're going to watch. Joseph isn't going to make it that far. Jesus is going to watch him die. Mary's going to lose her husband, her beloved. And she's going to watch her boy die on the cross. So that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. His death is going to impact many. Her pain will be awful, but it will be short-lived. He will rise. She will see him again. She will know joy. And then it moves on. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, and she was also an old woman, advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84, a widow. And she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Think about this woman. How many times have you fasted? Good Friday? Once a week during Lent, maybe? Or half a day? This woman fasts and prays constantly. She's in the temple, meaning she's ministering to others. Do you? Not as a guilt trip. I'm not saying that. But this is the life she lived. This is the woman she was. And she did it night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So the one is told, the old man, and the other sees and at least recognizes. We're not told that she knew from the beginning, but she sees and recognizes. And then begins to tell all. She's an evangelist. She shares, she ministers, her life is this, and she sees Jesus. She recognizes Jesus, and she shares Jesus. Because of the life she lives. Two different saints. And then the story ends, and when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town in Nazareth. And then the child grew, became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. What does this teach us? It teaches us many things. First, the things we long for and pray for can be answered. It teaches us that Jesus does and is the salvation of the world. And Anna teaches us that when you live that life for Jesus, you recognize the things of God. You recognize when they come before you. And you can't help but proclaim it. I don't know how all that applies to you personally, but take it as you will. Meditate on those things. Amen.